All right, y'all, what's going on? Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 86. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. All right, y'all, back with another one once again. You know, it's been a few weeks since the last episode, but, you know, I'm back again with another one. Of course, I haven't neglected y'all altogether. Again, you know, y'all be on the live streams. Y'all know what I be doing and dropping videos. So, yeah, back with another podcast episode here, though. So make sure y'all subscribe to the YouTube channel, of course. Combo Breaker 99. Subscribe to this show on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn, all of that. You know, anywhere you listen to a podcast, you can pull this show up here exclusively. But yeah, man, I'm back again. And yeah, this episode here, you know, I wanted to go ahead and drop it this weekend because at the time of this recording, you know, this is pretty much a chill fight weekend. You know, no fights. You know, no big fights. I mean, there was some boxing tonight because I did get a chance to watch Savannah Marshall versus, what's her name, Femke Hans. Forgive me if I'm butchering her last name. Y'all know, you know, it's more about Savannah Marshall here because she scored the third round knockout. So, yeah, I got a chance to check out that fight tonight because this is a lead up to Clarissa Shields and Savannah Marshall in an undisputed fight in the summer. You know, so I'm looking forward to it. But I'll give you my thoughts on that fight real quick. I mean, Savannah Marshall, I mean, the girl can hit hard. You know, the girl can hit hard. She definitely has power in both hands. You know, you usually think of the right hand, but she scored a good knockout with the left hook tonight, you know. And I think that's one of the main things that Clarissa's going to have to look out for in this fight is really the power. But when it comes down to skills and just overall tenacity, I think that Clarissa Shields, I feel like she has more of that. Like, I think she has more skills, you know, because she is a 10-round fighter. Like, she doesn't score that many knockouts, but that shows you that she's very consistent and she's built for the long haul. You know what I mean? Like, of course, anybody that can land, they can drop you or they can change the fight. But Shields has shown that she's tough. You know, she can make adjustments. She can get back up from a knockdown and, you know, she can fight hard minute after minute in a round. Right. So that's one thing I have to kind of give Clarissa Shields as far as favoring her over Savannah Marshall just early on. But I'm going to break it down, do like an early look on both of these fighters as far as how they match up. But, you know, I've always just been impressed with Clarissa, you know, and how she's just building her IQ every day and like how smart she is when she talks boxing. But I love this energy, man. Like, they're both in there talking to trash. I mean, last time out when Clarissa won her fight, y'all know Savannah Marshall was there. And, you know, she was trying to egg it on that time, talking about she just went the decision. It was boring. You know, this time Clarissa showed up. She got in the ring. You know what I mean? So I'm just glad that they're building this rivalry up and they're trying to build up boxing, not just women's boxing here, but boxing in general. And, you know, it's one of my most anticipated fights. I mean, next to Spence Crawford, I want to see this one. I want to see Taylor Serrano. These are big fights for me as a hardcore fight fan, man. These are all good fights. So, you know, I'm glad Savannah Marshall won because I'm ready to see this Shields Marshall fight all together, man. So yeah, man, we'll talk more about that and I'll do some videos talking about it. But yeah, that's all that's pretty much going on tonight. So, you know, I just been kind of laid back, so I said let me go ahead and kick this episode off for y'all, and we'll kind of just go in and talk about some of the fights this past weekend, you know, UFC Columbus and ONE FC, because today I just wanted to talk about improvements. You know, some of the improvements I've seen in a lot of these fighters that are, you know, experienced, seasoned, that been in the game, you know, experienced fighters, you know, just finding new ways to get these wins and stay afloat in their MMA careers. So, you know, improvements is a big thing that I've been seeing throughout all the matches that taken place this past Saturday, you know. So I want to talk improvements a little bit and what type of statements a lot of these fighters have to do to be more than just a title shot earner, but like a title shot threat. You know what I mean? Like, anybody can go through the motions and beat who you're supposed to beat in the title eliminator, going a 2-3 fight win streak, right? But to me, who's going to be that one that we can say, okay, this person can give Valentina all she can handle, or this person here, I could see them going distance with Valentina, or this person here might shut something Valentina does well, very, very well down, right? You know, who has that, you know? So I just want to talk about some improvements made in the game, again, you know, with some of these fighters. And, you know, we can kind of go from there, you know, just talk about whatever, you know, as far as what's going on in WMMA, period, you know? So, yeah, man, make sure y'all subscribe, like always. Like always, y'all. So, yeah. 1FC last Saturday was a good card. You know, good early card. It was like a three-part card that started after midnight, which, you know, I had to go back and watch a lot of that, man. Like, I said, man, I ain't, you know, I'm up, but it's hard for me to just sit there and focus sometimes when I'm doing other things at that hour, you know. So it's like, let me just go back and actually analyze each fight, the ones I really want to see. So that's kind of where I was with it. Like, I was laying back watching them, but at the same time, I was like, okay, I'm not in, like, analyst mode here. You know what I mean? So I had to go back and look at Ratsuan and Harada fight, you know, Itsuki Harada. You know, she was bested by Ratsuan in that fight. You know, that was a good one. But the one I was really looking forward to, you know, of course, was Lee Fairtex and the rematch with Zoe Ham and Denise Zamboanga. You know, that was a good rematch. That was a good fight. Zamboanga, I picked her the first time. You know, I thought she won the first fight. I thought she was robbed. But this time around, look, I got to say shout out to Zoe Ham. You know, she did what she was supposed to do this time. You know, she said, okay, I'm going to make sure that I make the right improvements this time, and I'm going to make it a clear-cut win, right? Now, shout out to Denise Zamboanga because she made some nice improvements in this fight. You know, she was fighting well off the back foot this time, landed some good shots, did okay in the clinches, but it was the fact that Zoe Ham said, look, no, I'm going to make sure that I initiate the pressure this time. I'm going to let my hands go, and I'm going to dominate the grappling, and that's what she did. You know, I saw some nice improvements in Zoe Ham's movement, you know, her pressure in her clinch game, you know, very good at reversing some of those takedowns and getting top control, just letting her hands go whenever she was in range, not trying to really be too much of a cautious counter striker here. She came forward and landed more, you know, and worked better on the ground this time around. So Zoe Ham, to me, was really impressive in that matter. You know, she said, we're going to take what we did last time, you know, and just say, okay, we can't make it controversial. We got to look better here. You know, we got to press the fight. And you know how they judge these fights is one whole fight. You got to go in there and make sure you look like the best, like you're getting the best of every single exchange. You know what I mean? Like, you got to ignore the breaks and just say, okay, this, we're picking up where we left off. And she fought like that. You know what I mean? She really fought like she wanted to dominate this fight and to erase all doubt. And she did that. And I have to say, look, I'm impressed because, you know, Zoe Ham has come very far from her UFC days. You know what I mean? The UFC days, they were kind of maybe a little premature for her, you know, because she was in there with fighters that were already kind of peaking at what they do. And I think Zoe Ham was still trying to figure out what type of fighter she is and what she was at the time. But she was fighting on a Saturday. She was fighting on that last Saturday, the same night as one of her old opponents was, Joanne Wood. And if you go back and just look now, you can say, wow, like, look at the comparisons here. Like, look at the improvements that Zoe Ham has made. Now, I mean, you could say, okay, Zoe Ham is over here 1FC. Maybe some of the fighters' competition ain't as good as what Joanne's facing. But, you know, you could say that, but look at how far Zoe Ham has come. She did what she was supposed to do as far as taking a break from the UFC or going another path where she could take the time to grow, right? But opponent selection aside, I think Zoe Ham would have been growing like that as a fighter regardless. You know what I mean? Because I think it's all in what you want to do and how you want to improve. Because over here, she's still facing some tough fighters and she still has to work on her grappling regardless, right? And she's done that, even with her striking. Like, I see Zoe Ham make those right choices as far as being defensively sound more so than Joanne Wood has, you know, because the things I'm saying with Joanne Wood, even though she's been in the UFC, she hasn't been making those improvements, right? So I think it just all comes down to the fighter wanting to say, okay, it's time for me to grow here if I want to continue to thrive, right? So for Joanne Wood, I'm surprised she's lasted this long because she hasn't really been making those improvements, right? And then I was just thinking too, I was like, man, Zoe Ham, like everybody she's lost to, she's actually turned out better than them. You know, the Danielle Taylors, Beck Rawlings, Joanne Woods, like everybody she lost to in the UFC. Nah, she's been thriving since then. And I think she could actually come back to like 115 or 125 and, you know, maybe give it a good run. Maybe 115 more so. But You know, I definitely think that she's shown some, you know, solid growth throughout her past few years since being, released from the UFC. So, yeah, shout out to Zoe Ham. I'm just saying, like, you can see the fighter that she's becoming and the fighter that she wants to be, you know, and you know, you just see her, seeing her journey. If you just go back and look, I was like, oh, man, I was like watching. I was like, OK, I like what she's doing here. And I go back, you know, let's look at some of the fighters. I pull up her resume. I said, let's look at some of the fighters that she beat and some of the ones she lost to. Then I was like, oh, snap. You know, I looked at everybody she lost to. I was like, in the UFC. I was like, whoa, all of these fighters, they've been kind of falling. You know, I was like, they've been kind of falling. You know, Danielle Taylor, she's on a 2-fight losing streak. And y'all saw how that last fight went for her and her title shot. And then I was like, you know, oh, man, Joanne Wood, she's on a 3-fight skid right now. And I'm not seeing the improvements that she needs to hang in the UFC. So for somebody like Zoe Ham, if you think about it, Zoe Ham, when she got cut, she didn't really need to get cut. Like, it wasn't like she got cut off of, like, getting beat down and being, you know, losses. Like, her situation wasn't like that, right? So if anything, you know, you think Joanne Wood, she's kind of hanging on a thread when you think about it. But, you know, that's how they work sometimes. I mean, I'm a Joanne fan, but I'm just saying, like, you know, Zoe Ham has been making those improvements. Even back then, you know, she wasn't that hard off like she was, you know, getting her behind whooped like that. So, you know, she definitely has shown more of a evolution in her, like she wants to get better, you know. So, yeah, shout out to Zoe Ham, man. But who else did I want to talk about as far as, like, that's been showing growth? I mean, let's see. Oh, yeah, you know, Angela Lee, Stan Fairtex. I already did some videos talking about that. But, you know, y'all can go back and listen to those. But, yeah, Angela Lee, I got to give her a shout out because she did go in there, prove me wrong. And she went in there after 2 years off and showed that her level is still too much for Stan Fairtex. Like, what it really came down to me was who was going to be that complete MMA fighter in there. And Angela Lee looked more like the MMA fighter, even the movement there. Like, Stan Fairtex has beat a lot of good fighters, yes. But when you looked at their fluidity in this fight, their balance and how they moved and how they applied pressure, Stamp looked still more like a Muay Thai fighter here. So it was just going to come down to Angela Lee being an MMA striker and a grappler here, where she could apply that pressure, take Stamp off balance, and get her straight down to the ground and show her that, look, you have improved on the ground, but this is my world, right? Angela Lee, like, even the pressure she applied in the first round where she would back up Stamp Fairtex, the way she was letting her hands go and the way her feet were moving forward, they were pushing Stamp Fairtex into another realm. Like, you know, Stamp wanted to get that Muay Thai off and land those hard kicks, which she did land a good body shot in the first round. I will give her that. But it was the fact that Angela Lee was still very flexible, mobile, like the way she moved, you know, that was impressive to me. Like, she's not the best striker, but she was ready to get it done however she needed to. And when she applied pressure and would just snatch up Stamp and get these takedowns, I was like, okay, yeah, this is her. Like, this is going to be her fight. I could already see that in that second round where she was just, like, putting all type of submission attempts on Stamp, and Stamp was just trying to survive, right? So it really came down to that high-paced grappling that just kind of wore Stamp down till finally, you know, she had to give up and get flattened out there and got submitted, right? So Angela Lee was just sitting on, she was just sitting on some gold that, you know, that she already had in her belt. You know what I mean? She was already sitting on them guns that, you know, a lot of us almost counted out, right? You know, we thought they were going to be rusty, but nah, they were still intact. You know, her jiu-jitsu was just much better. And like I said, a lot of the things that Stamp has learned, that's stuff that Angela Lee already knew, you know what I mean? And she was already built for that. So that was the one thing in this MMA math is hard to calculate sometimes, you know what I mean? So yeah, shout out to Angela Lee. Shout out to Stamp. You know, I'm still a big fan, and I want to see her get back in there. I want to see her just make improvements on her stance and how she moves a little bit more. Like, I want to see her learn to jab a little bit quicker. Don't sit so flat-footed. I want to see her move a little bit more like Joanna in there and be a little bit more committed to the MMA striking and not just Muay Thai, right? So, yeah, man, good night of fights over there. those are some of the improvements I've seen, you know, like from Zoe Hom, you know, those improvements in even Rod Swan in her fight, Jen Rod Swan, you know, she has some nice improvements. That's why she pulled out her victory against Harada, you know. But let's look at the UFC card, man. The UFC card, it was on and popping, man. I mean, we had good bantamweight action, good flyweight action, and another one of the fights I got wrong here, shout out to Sarah McMahon. You know, I did a video talking about this, but, you know, Sarah McMahon showed me that it's not about the age, of course, right? Like, well, you know, I already knew that. I mean, like, she showed, let's just say she showed the casual fan that it's not time to retire yet. Like, I thought more so it'd be time for her to retire just in case, you know, she was in that realm like Roxanne Modafferi. You know what I mean? Like, was she taking some damage? Is she mentally, physically? But, you know, she definitely went in there and showed Carol Rosa that my wrestling is too much for you and it's going to overwhelm you. That's what it really came down to, right? She went in there and said, look, you know, this wrestling of mine, you know, this is me. I'm big. I'm physically strong. I can be dominating if I want to be. And Carol Rosa, you're not ready, right? See, I thought Carol Rosa was ready. You know, I thought that, you know, her takedown defense would have been on point. I thought her striking would have been on point where it could have, you know, been problems for Sarah McMahon. But Sarah McMahon, improvements. Here we go again. More improvements. Sarah McMahon improved her right hand and her commitment to her stand-up enough to bang it out with Carol Rosa. Not even like bang it out, but just to kind of get the respect out of Carol Rosa. Like, Carol Rosa got backed up with some body shots and some overhand rights here. Like, Carol Rosa didn't know what to do when them shots were coming. So with the improvement in the striking department, when she get backed up with shots, Sarah McMahon would land them, take her down, land them, take her down, or just, you know, hit her with some good body shots just like that. She worried about the striking, boom, take her down. You know what I mean? So Sarah McMahon showed some growth here. You know, she showed what she has and what she has gained, you know, since her last fight. You know, so Sarah McMahon, it's not time for her to go yet. Like I said, 41, it's all about what type of damage you've taken. I said this in my video. The three things to me that call for retirement are a lot of losses, a lot of damage, and no improvements, right? A lot of losses, a lot of damages, and no improvements. That's when we can say it's time for somebody to go, right? So I'm thinking, you know, Sarah McMahon, you know, she's been here. She's kind of hitting that plateau. Maybe she's not here mentally anymore. You know, maybe, you know, she's kind of part of why the division is a little stagnant. Maybe it's a little dry. But, you know, she comes in and says, nope, I'm fine. I'm going to be right here, stuck in the middle. And if you can hold it down like that, I'm cool with it. Like, if you can stay right there, I mean, you might not be good. You might not be on the elite level to get the belt. But who knows, right? She could be. Like, she might not be good enough to get back up there to Nunes at any point. But nobody at the bottom is getting past her right now, right? Because I haven't really seen any other threats at bantamweight like that. Not like at flyweight, you know? There is no triple threat anymore. Like, Macy Chason was taken out, right? You know, Macy Chason was taken out by Rocky Pennington. Now Carol Rosa has been taken out. At the moment, Julie Avila, I was about to put her in there, but she's out for a bit, you know, on maternal leave. And I think she had an injury as well. So there really is nobody at the moment I can see that is ready to fully go in there and beat up a fighter like Rocky or Sarah McMahon and retire him. You know, it's not like at 125. Like, again, some of those ones at 125, like I made that example, like Sarah McMahon, yes. Roxanne, no. Roxanne Modafferi is a no because she falls under that three category, right? Not enough improvements, a lot of losses, a lot of damage. You know, Joanne, she's about to fall in that one too, you know? A lot of losses, a lot of damage, no improvement. So, you know, it's one of those situations. You know, Sarah McMahon did enough to, you know, hold her career together. So if a fighter can do that, I'm like, I don't care about your age. You know, you'll be 45 and still be doing it. But if you're not, you know, packing them three things that I say, then, I mean, hey, stay in because you're going to teach these fighters a lesson. And my thing is, too, like, for Sarah McMahon, it might be boring. Her style might be boring to you. Well, your next prospect that comes up is supposed to get him out of there then, right? They're supposed to be doing that favor for you to get him out of there, but it don't seem like they can do it, right? Because they just still have that much. They still have that much to offer. And it could also be the fact that your favorite prospect might not be ready for the big dogs yet, right? So Carol Rosa couldn't handle the wrestling yet. So what does that tell you? Maybe there's a lot more things that she has to work on, right? That's telling me that as well. So improvements made to Sarah McMahon, as well as, you know, just other fighters needing improvements, not having enough improvement, right? So moving on down the card, you know, let's look at another fighter here that y'all know I talk about here a lot. You know, she showed that, look, she has that next level, and she jumped up to fight a fighter nine spaces higher, Manon Fiore. You know, Manon Fiore went in there in 30-27, Jennifer Maia last Saturday. I mean, that's pretty much how I thought the fight was going to go. This was like my only pick that I picked right, because I've been watching her style for that long, you know, closely. And, you know, I'm really big on strikers, and I know what some of these strikers can do against fighters that don't really pull the trigger, and that's Jennifer Maia. So, you know, I had to put that together, you know. So Manon Fiore in this fight, she really showed that she can do it all. You know, she can do it all. And I mean all. You know, she showed that she's a real fighter. I mean, not only, you know, dish out punishment, but she could take it. You know, she took some big shots in this. You know, a couple good head kicks from Maia, a couple good body kicks as well. And she was in it. You know what I mean? She was still in the fight. We talking on the feet, we talking on the ground, whatever you want to do. You know, Manon was ready here. You know, I think they made a lot of nice improvements with her footwork in this fight. You know, her lateral movement's been on point. You know, the way she could box circles around Jennifer Maia. You know, Jennifer Maia's a good boxer. You know, Jennifer Maia's a pretty good boxer. She got off some good left hooks on Manon, but she really had trouble, like, cutting the octagon off here because Manon was too fast and that right hand was in her face all day. You know what I mean? So Manon was really, you know, doing just a good job of landing these good shots. But then she would turn it up and say, okay, let me toss this girl around a little bit. You know, nice judo tosses, just good takedowns as well. You know, putting the strength on Jennifer Maia in the clinch, landing good ground and pound. You know, you just saw a well-rounded fighter here. You know, a fighter that wanted to show how far she's come since her last few fights, you know. So Manon was in there. As far as improvements, I will say there are some bad habits there. Let's be real. You know, I think Manon was a little right hand dependent. I wanted to see her land the straight left hand a little bit more. You know, I wanted to see her walk her opponent down a little bit more where she could really sit on her power. You know, she threw the check right hook a lot. I know she threw it a lot because Jennifer Maia was just coming straight in. But hopefully, you know, she'll be a little bit more calculated with that in the future. Hopefully she'll keep her chin tucked a little bit more, you know, instead of pulling straight back. You know, the chin is there. You know, that's why she got caught with the head kick. I just got to say, it's like a lot of what a lot of these fighters need to work on in the flyweight division is defense. You know what I mean? I think Manon's defense can be tighter. You know, hell, Taylor Santos' defense can be tighter. You know, I think the best defensive fighters in the division are Valentina and Caitlin Chookagian, right? And, you know, that's why I'm holding it to that standard, because one day you're going to be fighting Valentina Shevchenko. And the only way you can beat Valentina Shevchenko is if your defense is on point and you can get that type of respect from her. But if you're wide open, you know, somebody like Valentina Shevchenko is going to see all these openings, and it's going to be a field day for her. It's going to be target practice, right? It's just going to be a matter of how she wants to do it and how she wants to get you out of there, right? So you can have all the power in the world. You can have the best grappling in the world. But if your defense is not on point, whether it's takedown defense or just striking defense, that's not going to cut it for the champion. So I see Manon right now being in that realm where she could dominate a lot of these flyweights in the top 10. But Valentina Shevchenko is still Shevchenko level. You got to show that respect. You know what I mean? That's why it's like you got to have something that can make Valentina respect you. And you also got to have, you know, and that includes defense. You got to have the defense. Defense is a big part of that, you know. So moving forward, I think Manon, I want to see her tighten up a little bit more and be a little bit more calculated with how she throws her shots, you know, and be a little bit more offensive where she can sit down and start bringing that power back, where she can walk you down and really commit. You know what I mean? That's one way I think she's going to have to earn respect. The way Nunes did with Valentina, you're going to have to make shots hurt and sting. You got to earn bodies. That's the way Shevchenko is going to say, okay, this girl has power. I got to be on my game, I got to be cautious. You got to make Valentina overcautious and over-respect you like Nunes did, right? So those are a couple of things as far as bad habits I would say Manon have to take care of. But other than that, I think she beats a lot of the other top 10. But we trying to measure her up for the title shot. That's another realm. That's another realm, man. So, yeah, shout out to Manon, though. You know, she did what she was supposed to do. Jennifer Maya, you know, got to make some improvements to her game if she want to hang on, because she's going to be fighting down now, right? For sure. What else? Alexa Grasso. Alexa Grasso made some nice improvements this past weekend, you know. Shout out to Alexa. You know, I was riding with JoJo. You know, I ride with JoJo to the end. You know, I said, you know, fan pick was JoJo. Analyst pick was leaning towards Grasso. But I went all across the board here. I said, JoJo's going to get it all, right? And she could have. At the beginning of the round, you know, her striking was looking like it was working. You know, she was touching Grasso to the face with the front kicks, push kicks to the body, you know, combinations. So that's what I was talking about. JoJo is comfortable fighting you on the feet if you give her space. If you're not like a hard power puncher and you're not like a grappler that's going to fake her out and take her down, she's good to go. You know, if you got some space there in between and you want to think a little bit more and had a good tech, no matter how good of a techno striker you are, she's going to have her time. You know, she's going to have her time with her combinations. And JoJo throws beautiful combinations. She did that in this first round. You know, Grasso knew that was coming. So what did Grasso do? She said, yo, you know what I've been working on? Okay, here it comes. You know, she got hit with the foot front push kick to the body. JoJo stepped in with a spinning back fist. That was Grasso's time to, you know, lock on, get the fight down to the ground. And before that, there was a moment where the fight went to the ground because Grasso wanted to go down. So you can see Grasso already saying that the striking is something I don't want to do with JoJo because it might make the fight too competitive, or I could wind up losing or getting hurt or knocked out, right? So Grasso, on her part, showed improvement in the IQ in the ground game here. She said, okay, after this spinning back fist, I see it opening. I'm taking her down. She grabs that body, pulls her down, and y'all know the rest. So Grasso definitely showed a good level of improvement here. It wasn't about who's the best boxer. It's about how we're going to get the win. And that's what she needs to do more of pushing forward in this division. You know, to get better in this division and be and to be taken seriously, you have to start looking for openings where it's going to be about making yourself look dominant. And, you know, Grasso looked dominant in this fight. Granted, it was JoJo. This is her first win by submission, her first finish. We're going to give it to her. We got to give her the respect for that. And that's where it has to start, right? But, improvements are important. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not about just changing or, you know, doing new things. It's about improving. Like, anybody can change. Anybody can say, okay, I want to throw my jab this way versus this old way I used to throw it. I want to throw it straight from the chin instead of shooting it from the hip, right? That's a change. But no, you want improvements. You know, fighters need improvements. You need something that's going to make your path to the contender, you know, to the contender bracket, continue tier, or the championship, you know, to the belt, to that title shot. You want something that's going to improve your chances of getting there, right? That's what it comes down to. Like for Taylor Santos, the improvements she's been making as far as, you know, her pressure, you know, her striking, her grappling, she's been improving in every department and her ways of thinking. Like, you want to improve your IQ to make you say, okay, I'm not in it for fight of the night. I'm in it for fighter of the year, fighter of the decade. I want to be the best fighter. I don't want to put on the best fight. You know what I mean? I want to go in there and show you I'm as calculated as the next one, or the better than that person, right? So it's about improvements, you know, not just changes, improvements. You know, changes can mean anything. It can be a generic statement for bad changes, right? So you want to do things in the game to improve that's going to make your journey, like I said, to the belt a little bit easier, make it a little bit easier for you and harder for your opponent. So, yeah, man, moving forward from here, though, before I go, you know, I don't want to hold y'all up on this episode. You know, I don't have a great deal to talk about, but moving forward from here, targeting the flyweight division again, I mean, we got a lot of good fighters. We've got a lot of good fighters here. You know, a lot of fighters that are, you know, well-equipped, you know, the make statements and, you know, find their way and go in there and get big wins and get big finishing pay, you know, big checks off of, you know, finishes and things like that. They can get big fan bases. But as far as anybody ever taking that belt from Valentina Shevchenko, they've got to be on another level. Let's be real. They've got to be on another level. Like, they've really got to find that level that Shevchenko was on, like, or find a level where they can something compared to hers, like, in their own way. Like, Valentina is going to be holding this belt for a while until a lot of these fighters really understand what dedication is and what defense is and what dominance is. Like, some of these fighters don't understand. I don't think they understand, like, the training habits of a fighter like Valentina Shevchenko. Sure, they all understand, okay, hard work, going to the gym, working out, cutting weight, taking a punch, getting choked out. Everybody understands that, right? But to get this belt from the hands of this champion and Valentina Shevchenko, you have to be on a whole nother platform. And I think y'all have really got to start watching this girl. Y'all really got to start watching this girl and seeing what it is that she's doing, you know? Stop spending so much time on social media and saying, oh, I'm a UFC fighter. I'm a UFC fighter. I mean, if that's all you want to be, fine. But if you want to get that belt, you know, you have to study that fighter day in, day out. You have to study Bullet and understand what it is she does. And I'm telling you right now, from my seat where I'm at, and if you're listening to the, you know, fighters, if you happen to want to listen, or if the fans want to understand what it is, number one thing that she does well in there is her defense. Like, man, I still think that's a lot of what a lot of these fighters lack, is this type of defense like that Valentina has. It's, like I said, it's self-preservation. You know, she thinks of herself. That's why she comes out on top, because she fights for her, you know? And I think that's what a lot of these fighters out here got to do. Like, they got to stop thinking of fight of the night and going in here being more cautious and thinking about defense and picking their opponents apart and playing chess more, you know? So that's what it is, man. I see a lot of good things out of the top 10 in the flyweights, but in the flyweight division, but you know, it's just that big separation gap there. Like, there's Valentina, and then there's, ooh, on down, there's the number one contender, right? And then there's the rest of the flyweights from there. So just a lot of things, man. You got to make statements. You got to get finishes in dominant fashion. So many more fighters just have to be dedicated, you know? They just got to be, you know, dedicated. I mean, that discipline, defense, and dominance. I think the closest ones right now are Manon and Taylor. You know, but everybody else in the division, I think that they got work to do. I mean, Andrea Lee, she can't argue with that. She's already said it. Valentina's near perfect. And Alexa Grasso said it a while back. She needs more fights, more experience to fight a fighter like Shevchenko. So I think I'm right. I think I'm on to something. You know, I definitely think I'm on to something when I'm saying that they're in the top 10, but they're not ready. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it just means that you need more experience and you need more of what she has. You know, you need more of the ways she's thinking about how she approaches fights. You know, I think that's what a lot of these fighters need. So, you know, right now, I like what I see in this division. They're growing, they're looking good, they're developing. But, you know, to catch up with her, I think you just have to be in your own realm. You know, I think you have to be in that world where it's like no one else is around, you know, no unnecessary relationships. You know, it's all about the fight game, complete sacrifice. You know, it has to be complete sacrifice like she's done, you know, to the point where it's a lifestyle. You know, it's about bettering your life. Like, how you kick somebody in the face or how many times you got kicked in the face is going to help you walk your life a little bit better, right? You know what I mean? You got to start liking the sport to how you walk every day, right? That makes sense. So, yeah, man. Yeah, that's pretty much all I had on this episode. Y'all just kind of wanted to revisit improvements and what I've seen in these fighters over the past weekend, and the lay of the land of the flyweight division as far as what these fighters need to do. Final thoughts, Zoe Ham, like I said, I think she's on to something. I think she deserves a title shot against Angela Lee next. Denise Zambawanga, you know, I want to see her get that work in. I want to see her improve. Same with Stan Fairtex, moving forward from here. Manon Fiorot, I want to see her in there with Caitlin Chikagan or Alexa Grasso. Well, Caitlin Chikagan is taking on Amanda Ibas. So let's get Alexa Grasso versus Manon Fiorot next. I'll take that. Joanne Calderwood, you know, maybe one or two more fights just to see if she still has it. Sarah McMahon, she's right where she needs to be. She's that gatekeeper in that mid-tier. So keep holding it down if you can. You know what I mean? Just keep on doing what you do. What else? But, yeah, before I go, yeah, all these other flyweights now, they just got to really start stepping their game up. You know, they really got to start stepping their game up, because when you get into the top four or top five, there's no backtracking. Like, there's no more time out, you know, if you really want to win that belt. You know, we'll talk Taylor Santos, her chances on the next episode, though, for sure. Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, guys, that's pretty much all I got. Make sure y'all subscribe on the YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99. Subscribe to the show, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, iTunes, hashtag CB99Talks, guys. We'll be back with another one this week coming. You know, I just wanted to drop this one and give y'all my take on what's been going on. Like always, Combo Breaker 99, I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.